Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
At this week's show, we're going to be talking turkey.
Woo!
Because we are now officially into November.
Yes.
And little unknown fact to people, there are very few Thanksgiving movies
there out there. There are not a lot of Thanksgiving movies.
Generally, whenever you see those lists, you know, they always, like, Halloween is like top 10 scary movies, and, you know, Christmas top 10 Christmas movies.
We tend to skip over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's
because
sort
now
of like,
is the time when the Christmas movies start coming out anyway.
Yeah, they do those, and then they have lists that'll be like, here we're ordering the 11 Thanksgiving movies that have ever been made in the history of time.
Yes.
Because there aren't very many.
But we have a new one this week.
We do. You can add one to the list.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you can add one to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
And that would be Free Birds, but we'll talk a little more about that later. We're also going to talk about Las Vegas and Ender's Game and Man of Tai Chi. Ha!
Yeah.
I was trying to do it and not sound too racist with my Tai Chi moves. They don't yell in Tai Chi, though, do
no,
they?
No, they're just very fluid and...
Yeah. It's more exercise
calm.
And stretching.
Apparently, yeah.
There is that one move in the film Hot Rod. Where it's the
Hot Rod.
That's a great movie.
That is what we were using
for
referencing Tai Chi.
Well, it is because there's a move that you can do it and you soil yourself.
Okay.
In the middle of that's the move.
Do you really think that exists? Because
I hope
it is Hot Rod that we're talking
about.
Oh,
I hope it does. And I want to learn it.
Nice.
I so want to learn it. It's like, it's sort of like in Kill Bill.
I feel bad for your kids.
How they have the five-finger death punch, the and it makes your heart explode.
Your poor children.
Something else explodes.
Mm.
Anyways, yeah. Man of Tai Chi. We also have a listener, a voicemail that we'll respond to later in the show. And some news and DVDs and Blu-rays. All that good stuff. Getting in the turkey spirit.
The turkey spirit?
Well, that means I'm going to watch terrible movies. You know how in
Is that what we're doing in November?
October, I watched all
horror movies. November is bad movies?
Turkey movies. Mm. Turkeys.
Really? Do you think you can find 30 of them?
I'm sure I can find 30 terrible movies.
30 turkey movies.
Well, not, no, just, they're turkeys. They're bad movies. Anyways. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. And as we mentioned before, we have one of those. So you too can get in on the action.
There
740-205-6456. You can reach us at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/FGATM. And you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
Before we move on, we have a big welcome to a new affiliate.
Yes, we do.
Welcome, San Luis Obispo.
Woo!
We are on the air.
In California.
Saturday afternoons at 1 o'clock on News Talk 920 KVEC.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now bi-coastal.
We are.
Yes. We are taking over the planet.
Which is kind of terrifying for everybody else.
We're fighting a two-front war, people.
Yeah.
For the children. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Before we move on into news, we have a little bit of a soundbite here. Gavin Hood talking about Ender's Game, which we're going to be talking about in a later segment. But here's him just talking just very general about what the movie entails.
When you're making a movie, you want two things. You want great characters and a great story. And you want fantastic big visuals, especially the movie of this size. You want to have big visual effects and big visual spectacle, but married to a story about an extraordinary young character, in this case, Ender Wiggin.
Mm-hmm. Big movie, special effects.
And boom.
Boom. That should be just the tagline for everything. Ender's Game.
Boom.
Boom. And you have to do, you know how you can't see it because I'm on radio. I have my fingers in the two-finger gun.
Really? We need
very
to do
ghetto.
Like... Okay.
Because I'm ghetto.
I don't think this movie is really ghetto.
I'm getting a grill.
I'm just saying.
It could be.
Okay.
It could be ghetto. Maybe this is the ghetto in the future.
That could be.
Before we start into the movie reviews, we're going to talk about a little bit of movie news with somebody from Ender's Game, and that would be Henderson Ford?
Henderson Ford.
How about Harrison Ford?
You know, some guy you may have known of, heard of him before.
I went to high school.
I don't know. Henderson Ford.
Harrison Ford. There's a little bit of Star Wars news, and we like to cover Star Wars news because...
We do.
It's just, it's so
dramatic.
Because
it's what
dramatic.
We do.
It's way more dramatic than the movies are ever going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Harrison Ford, he got assurance to do Indiana Jones 5.
Yes.
Which is
because
amazing.
That is the only way that he would agree to do Star Wars.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Which really shows what he cares about most. He's like,
Star Wars.
I don't want to be the supporting guy.
No.
I want the movie where I'm the star.
Right.
Because I need money for Calista Flockhart's surgeries.
Nice.
I don't know what that means.
Does she have surgeries? Because I haven't seen her in a long time.
I don't know. She was looking rough there at the end of Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah.
She's getting old. A little long in the tooth.
Nice.
As is Harrison Ford. He's really lumpy.
Yeah, because, you know, Harrison Ford, he's a spring chicken.
Well, he's really lumpy
he's
in IMAX.
He's a spring turkey.
We saw him in IMAX in Ender's Game, and it's just like, he's like another planet, his face.
You'd think they could do something about that in post-production.
I think it's just him saying, no, I don't want to. I'm just going to let myself grow old gracefully or not gracefully, however it works out.
That was actually a good voice you did just
Was that a good Harrison Ford
I could
voice?
Probably do that today, but I'm not going to.
But yeah, so he, in order to get Indiana Jones and to be in Star Wars, he also wants control or at least input.
Yes, on his storyline.
Onto his storyline, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Now, one of the things they also mentioned is that it's for not just the next Star Wars movie, but a couple after that, too.
For the 86 other Star Wars movies.
And, you know, one of the things that people were talking about was that it would, you know, make sense to kill off his character in the next movie. But it sounds like he's just going to keep going.
No, they're going to probably try and kill off Chewbacca.
Oh,
he got killed in the extended universe.
Well,
a planet falls on him.
I would like to see that, actually.
If you're going to go.
That is the way to go.
A planet falling on you is pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And I'll be interested to see if that dovetails into any young Han Solo stuff. Because they're talking about doing a Boba Fett movie eventually. Maybe doing a Han Solo early years.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And I could see him saying, nope. Nathan Fillion, that is not what we're doing. I do agree he would make a good
I think that would
Han
be awesome.
Solo. The next piece of news, and this is a little late because, you know, we're after Halloween, but Trick or Treat, if you remember that movie that was not released.
A little movie that came out on DVD, like 2009, yeah. I think.
I think it was released in 2009,
yeah.
But it was like made in 2007.
Yeah.
It was supposed to get a big release by Warner Brothers, and they shelved it and then put it out on just DVD, and then it got this huge cult following.
It's a good movie. I liked it.
It's a great movie to watch during Halloween, too, because it's very much in the, no pun intended, in the spirit of things. They did a screening of it with Michael Dougherty, who is the writer and director of it. And apparently, I guess, kind of unbeknownst to him, they flashed something on the screen that said Trick or Treat 2. So the official green light has been given.
There you go.
And his original idea was sort of what John Carpenter's original idea was for Halloween, was to do a new one every year. And
with kind of a different story.
Yeah, which is why Halloween 3 is Season of the Witch. It has nothing to do with the Michael Myers thing. And they forced him to do Halloween 2. They wanted a direct sequel, but Carpenter's vision was to do a different one every year.
Right.
And that's, I think, what, at least the plan, at least that's Doherty's plan of what he'd like to do with Trick or Treat, which I think would be
awesome. I think it would be great, yeah. I'll take it.
I support that. I approve.
Me too.
I'm Kevin Carr, and I approve this message.
There you have it.
Vote for Trick or Treat 2. There's another development news here. Casting.
Yes. There is a John Belushi biopic in the works.
Oh, my.
And Emile Hirsch is going to star.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, too.
What was the last thing Emile Hirsch did that really was good?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, like, a movie he was in. Like, he was in Milk, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good movie.
He was a supporting character, yeah.
But I wouldn't blame, I wouldn't put that on his shoulders.
No, no. And then we had Into the Wild, which...
it was okay.
Yeah.
And then he had Speed Racer. But, I mean, seriously.
Speed
Racer. What is he? He was in that awful Oliver Stone movie, The Savages. The Savages.
Right. Yeah.
As much as I don't
like...
This does
not bode well for John Belushi.
Yeah. He's going to get killed twice.
Mm.
So I do not love Jack Black, I think he would have been the ideal choice.
Oh, I could totally see that.
He would have been great as John. Because I think he also would have taken it really seriously.
Yeah.
He would have done the sort of Jim Carrey thing where he really kind of becomes the character. I could totally
see
him.
I can see
that,
yep.
But I'm not in charge of that.
Nope, nobody asked us.
Yeah. Another real quick news story. We got about 30 seconds here. There is a secret Marvel project in the works. And the basis of it is that Ben Kingsley sort of let it slip. There's a little bit of spoiler alert. If you have not seen Iron Man 3.
Plug your ears.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds. But they did not have the Mandarin as the right character in that movie, and it really cheesed off a lot of fans. And so the idea is to have the Mandarin come in and come after Trevor Slattery and all the people who pretended to be the Mandarin. That's the news.
There you have it.
Which will appease the fans, and then they'll still find some way to tick them off.
I loved it anyway.
Anyways. All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Ender's Game and Las Vegas. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer, Kramer, and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We are talking turkey. We're not going to talk turkey in this segment, though.
Not quite yet.
Talk about that in a little bit. We're going to be talking about more of Harrison Ford and his leathery, doughy face. You can make bread out of his face.
I want to put Harrison Ford.
I want to knead his face and then bake it in my oven.
What we're talking about this segment is old guys. That is what we are talking about.
And a young guy. Because we're going to start off with Ender's Game. And this is Orson Scott Card's classic novel about children enlisting in a galactic war. And it has been committed to the screen for the first time.
When the aliens first invaded, they nearly destroyed us. They will be back. There's greatness in you, Ender. The world needs you.
Unless we act now, Earth will be annihilated.
We're out of time.
The reason I made that mention about it being on the screen, it's been years been said it's one of those unfilmable movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of it was back in the 80s when it was written, they were like, oh, you can't do this because it would be just so expensive.
Yep.
And it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they have digital technology and you can do this, it's still an expensive movie, but it's not at the level.
Right.
You know, it's not as insurmountable. It's also got a lot of depth to the book, and they trimmed a lot of it out. I read the book in college.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember a whole lot about it. But from what I remember, it seemed to be very true to that.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you thought you were really going to like it in the beginning.
Well, I thought it was going to be good, but I didn't think I was going to love it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? But I really, really liked it because it has this teen movie feel to it. Because it's about teenagers and younger kids, because they're being brought into this war. And the whole reason that they have the kids fighting it is because they're sort of like their neural processes work differently and they can adapt better and they work better as a team than old farts like Harrison Ford.
Right.
But I thought they did a really good job achieving that. And so it has that feel for a teen or tween group could see it. I brought my son, who's 12, and he enjoyed it. He loved it. And it's accessible to them, but it also deals with the really heavy, more grown-up subjects that are in the book. Sort of like, you know, war, suffering, regret, guilt, sacrifice, all that stuff that really layers the book.
Okay.
And it's at times a little heavy-handed with the dialogue to pull that off, but I think it's very effective with what it does.
Hmm.
And it looks great. It has great special effects. It's definitely, we saw it in IMAX. It's a big screen movie.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of like Oblivion being that kind of big screen movie with a better story. And no Tom Cruise.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. No Tom Cruise without
his shirt. Does Harrison Ford keep his shirt on?
Yes.
Thank you.
Asa Butterfield doesn't. So, you know, hey, all you teenage girls out there.
If you're into that.
Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like that. So. But yeah, I know it's a really neat movie. It's good. I definitely say I don't know if it's going to kick off another huge successful franchise because it's a heavier story.
Right, yeah.
It's not very pop. But it's definitely the best teen-related movie that Summit's ever made.
Well, there's that. In case you were wondering what that meant, Summit was responsible for the Twilight movies.
It was a little dig at Twilight.
That is Kevin's reference to that.
Yes. So there it is. So yeah, I'm going to say it totally rocks.
All right.
I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Very surprising. And like I said, I thought I would like. What's interesting, I want to say one other thing. There's a lot of people that are complaining because Orson Scott Card has come out and said some things about the gay marriage debate because of his thing, and he's gotten under fire from that.
Okay.
And you know what? Here's my thing. It's because people are like, well, should you boycott it because he's not going to get money from the movie, but book sales. And my thing is, I'm like, you know what? If you're going to stop watching a movie because you don't like the people who originated it.
Yeah, that would be kind of tough.
You're not going to see any movie.
No.
You're going to like skip everything that Scott Rudin's ever done. And Sylvester Stallone is an insane person. So that his stuff's right out.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you can't judge a movie.
There are a lot of crazy people in Hollywood.
Yeah, don't judge a movie by how just insane the people are who made
it.
Because, wow.
So, Hollywood.
Just a little message there. Keep politics out of this movie.
There you go.
Because it's a good film. Go see it.
Okay.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. What do we got coming up next?
Well, while you were watching Ender's Game, mm-hmm. I went to see Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Michael Douglas, and Kevin Kline star as four old friends who ditch their lives of geriatric monotony to throw a bachelor party in Vegas.
Hello.
Hey, it's Billy.
Billy!
How you doing? What's going on? I got something important here, all right? I'm getting married.
What? Wow. To that young lady who's half your age?
Hey, wait a minute. She's almost 32.
I have a hemorrhoid that's almost 32.
So we're going to have a bachelor party in Vegas.
I can't smoke, drink, eat salt, or stay out past 9, but...
All right, I love it. Welcome to Las Vegas.
Relax, sound like you invented it.
So basically, this is The Hangover Part 18.
Pretty much, yeah.
How was it?
It actually, you know... I really appreciate that lately there have been better roles for older stars. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that has come up a lot lately. We've had movies like The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. We've mm-hmm. had the Red movies. These have been a lot of really fun movies with older actors. And I really appreciate that because, again, you know, a few years ago, older actors ended up in, like, bad supporting roles as doting grandparents. Yeah. And that was it. You were paying the bills, and it was kind of sad and pathetic.
Yeah.
And now you've got these guys who, you know, are all between about 66
and 186
and
years old.
76, I believe I looked up. And, you know, they can go out to Vegas and have fun. And that's kind of the whole idea behind the movie,
mm-hmm.
that they've kind of settled into these boring lives and, you know... It sucks. Kevin Kline goes to, like, geriatric water aerobics in Florida, and oh, his God. Life is miserable. And, you know, it's these guys who let go of all of those labels of who they're supposed to be. They're old, and they're widowed, and, you know, they're sick. And they go out to Vegas and let go and have a good time, because they can.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, there are a lot of jokes in this movie that you're going to expect. I mean, it's about them being old, so you're going to get your jokes about...
Poop.
Yeah. You know, no, not that many about
Viagra.
Poop. There are a couple of Viagra jokes. Yes,
you knew that was coming. You knew that was popping up.
You've got your, you know, your hip replacements and your prescription medications.
There's
a
hemorrhoid joke in the trailer.
You know, yes, and there are jokes about, you know, how they don't understand what a Red Bull is or who 50 Cent is. There are these jokes all the time, but they're actually really done well, and it's surprisingly funny. I mean. The audience around me, I swear, there were a few people who wet themselves during this movie.
Well, that's because there were a bunch of old people.
They weren't.
Oh!
They weren't a bunch of old people. And it really, it's actually laugh out loud funny sometimes.
Oh, is it LOLMAFO?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. And OMG.
The cast is great. I mean, Morgan Freeman, this guy totally plays into it. And he is the life of the party. This guy is hilarious.
Cool.
There is one scene... that I could watch over and over and over again. Mm. So, you know, it has its serious moments that, you know, you're like, why did we need to get a message?
We have to slow down the movie now.
Right. But
enough of the old guys in the strip clubs.
Yeah. But it's not as bad as it could have been. And I have to say, there's a lot more Vegas shenanigans in this movie than there was in Paradise, the Diablo Cody movie that we watched a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's that. It's a lot more exciting than that movie ever was.
Hmm.
So there you have it.
Oh, good. It was funny as this was off my radar. When I finally watched the trailer, I'm like, this looks like it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see myself getting into
it. It is.
So what's your final grade?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Ooh, kind of rocks. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk turkeys with Freebird and Man of Tai Chi.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Nice. That was your sign that it is time to talk turkey.
It's turkeys.
Yes.
Did you like my turkey call?
That was nice, yeah. A little scary.
I know.
But, yes. So what is up now, Kevin?
We have Freebirds coming up. It is two turkeys. Go with me on this one.
Yeah.
Two turkeys take a time machine to the first Thanksgiving in order to get their species off the menu.
Hello, soldier. Whatever you do, do not make a sound.
Ah!
Shh. You've been recruited for a top secret mission.
What are you talking about?
We're going back in time to the first Thanksgiving to get turkeys off the menu.
Patrol, we have a contaminant.
Copy that. What type agent?
Turkey, sir. How do we address it?
With cranberry sauce.
But seriously.
There you have it.
This year, we've had a couple movies that are just such ludicrous stretches for premises.
You know, but I can take this idea.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
Turbo about a snail going to the Indianapolis fight. That was, I had so much trouble getting past that premise.
Yeah.
I couldn't really enjoy the movie.
This one, I actually was okay with the idea. I thought it was a good idea. Like, yeah, you know, why not?
Why turkeys? Turkeys, time you machine know? That sounds like George Takei?
Well, yeah.
Why not?
You know, my dad and I have always talked about how we wish that the pilgrims had come up with something else to eat on Thanksgiving. Because, you know, we don't really like turkey.
God, I love turkey.
I hate turkey.
So. Go back to Canada.
I'm not from Canada.
Well, you married a Canadian.
That doesn't mean I'm from Canada.
You've been to Canada.
I have been there, yes.
Okay.
That I have. I have been to Canada.
What do they
that
eat
does
on,
not make me Canadian.
What do they eat on Canada Day?
On Canada Day?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the 4th of July. They have barbecues just like we do.
I was in Canada once on the Canada Day.
Okay.
On Canada Day.
On Canada Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's pretty much a summer holiday.
Yeah.
They drink Molson.
They have leaves all over their faces.
Nice.
They get like temporary tattoos.
The tattoos makeup, on their chest.
My kids
the
called it Leaf Town.
Big ones, yeah. There you go.
We're going to Leaf Town. All right, go on. Anyways, turkeys. You hate turkeys.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
But you know, it's an interesting idea. I will take the idea.
Okay, but so you were okay with the idea.
I was okay with the idea.
I mean, it's ridiculous,
mm-hmm. but I'll take it. Mm-hmm. But I can just hear the production meeting on this one. That they sat down, they're like, I've got this great idea. We're going to make this movie where turkeys travel back in time to the first Thanksgiving to get turkeys off the menu. And everybody's like, yeah, that's great. Then what? Silence.
Yeah.
Because there is an idea behind this and there is nothing else.
No. It's got some good voice cast to it. I mean, you got Owen Wilson, you got Woody Harrelson actually does a great job. As one of the turkeys, and obviously everybody's a turkey pretty much. And then, you know, Amy Poehler's in it. But it just fell flat. You know what it felt like? It felt like a direct-to-video movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or made for TV. Yeah, something you see on the Cartoon Network. And even the animation, to me, was that as well. I'm like, this looks a little rudimentary.
Yeah, it was okay. But yeah, it just felt like it should have gone straight to video.
Yeah, it just, and I couldn't get past the premise. I just was like, this is just silly. And then they compound it by suddenly when they get back to the turkeys are geniuses living in this tribal culture.
Well, and there is such a long setup to this movie.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It involves the presidential pardoning of the turkey.
Which I didn't get why that was even necessary.
No, and there's some little girl who's apparently narcoleptic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so random and it just goes on forever. I'm like, when are we going to get to the story?
Well, you know, the other thing they do in this, and whenever you make a movie, it's always, and it has a president in it. The president is always usually either super generic or mm-hmm. reflects the current president.
Yes.
They do that a lot. So, and the president they have in here is Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And because he talked like this, we're going to go down here and pardon turkey. You know, I mean, you have him talking in this southern drawl.
Yeah.
And it's like, when was he? He left the presidency in 2000. I mean,
it's been a long
13
time,
years
yeah.
ago he hasn't been president. So it just seemed like it was like they said that this was an idea they had back in like 1996.
Yeah.
And they finally got it greenlit.
And
it just seems out of place.
Everything about it is so random.
Yeah.
And there are jokes that aren't really funny the first time.
Mm.
And they just keep going. And it's like, okay, I got it the first time and it wasn't funny then.
Yeah.
Can we just let it go?
Yeah, it's something that I think kids will like it. It's mildly enjoyable if you're like going into a turkey coma after Thanksgiving.
You know, I was sitting next to or right in front of a kid, and I think he laughed once during the entire movie.
So I took my son Ben, and he's 10, and he enjoyed it, but I mean, he didn't think it was great.
I was walking out with a woman who was there with two kids, and she was like, "Did you like the movie?" I'm like, "Yeah, it was fun." She's like, "It was okay."
Yeah.
I was like, amen, sister.
So there you go. What's your final grade?
It sucks.
Yeah, I thought it sucks. You know what? I think I'm giving it a kind of sucks.
Really? You're going to be kinder?
I'll be kinder.
To the turkeys?
Simply because we have so few Thanksgiving movies.
just because it's a Thanksgiving movie, you're going to give it an extra credit for that.
Yeah, it's, it gets that extra
an
boost.
A for effort.
Yes.
Or like a D plus for effort.
A T for terrible. I couldn't come up with anything for that.
No. Mm-mm.
You are listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yes.
And next up we have martial arts.
Are you done?
Nah. No, okay. I'm done.
Now I can go?
Yes.
Okay. We have Man of Tai Chi. Keanu Reeves directs the story of a martial arts champion who becomes a part of a deadly underground fight club. He wasn't done yet.
You have more?
Are you done now?
Yes, I'm done.
Turn to the left. Turn to the right. Now please face the mirror. Fight.
You have a contender. How would you like to test how good you are, Tiger? Or could become? Pure fighting.
What if I lose?
Okay.
What do you think of this movie?
I think it was really an interesting film. You know, it's Keanu Reeves. There's that.
Yeah.
And he is as wooden as ever, and now he's actually wooden and a little bit plastic.
Yeah.
So there's that. But fortunately, he's not the star of this film.
No.
And, you know, I guess what I was thinking as I was watching it is that this movie is kind of like Keanu Reeves. It's kind of, you know, kind of strangely kind of cool.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's kind of ridiculous and silly at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the fight scenes. You know, you can tell.
It had a beat and you can dance to it.
Yeah. You can tell that Keanu Reeves has learned a little bit from being in the Matrix films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some pretty cool fight sequences in here.
Yeah.
So it was entertaining in that way.
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and having seen... not a lot of these, but I've seen a handful. I've seen my fair share of these martial arts fight movies, and that's really all they are.
Yeah.
I've seen the ones that are coming out of Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits that mold. So if you have a great love for those movies, yeah, go see it.
But it's not as silly.
But no, yeah.
Because the Hong Kong ones have a wacky sense of humor.
Oh, dear God, this doesn't have that. This is so deadly serious.
Yes.
There is one scene of Keanu Reeves, and he goes, "Yah!" And literally, just right at the camera.
Yeah.
And that's... I fell off my chair laughing because I'm like, oh, nobody took a more serious than Keanu Reeves.
He worked on this film for years and years and years and years and years. So, yeah, I guess you would take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to be very deep with the story and the themes. And it's not as deep as it wants to be.
No.
But it still takes some interesting themes and some contrasts and plays with them in an interesting way.
I think Reeves kind of hedged his bet a bit by saying, and I think it was actually there. I think there was more brilliance done in why he made the movie than actually making the movie, because I think he's like, well, if I do a big movie and it completely flops, then I'm going to look like a fool. But if I do a movie about Tai Chi martial arts, which is not a fighting martial art already, and they point that out, and I'm going to make it in half Chinese, so it's going to have subtitles. It's going to have this bizarre release thing. If it flops, there's a lot of reasons to spread around.
Yeah.
So I think there was actually a brilliance to making this. So I had a lot of fun, got his name to it. It's going to get a little more note than if it was just, you know, Fred Jones or the Chinese equivalent of Fred Jones.
Nice.
Making a movie.
Okay. But, so what are you going to give this one?
But I still say it kind of sucks. It is cool. It is.
Yeah. I think it, you know, that was enough to tell me that it kind of rocks.
Oh, well,
so
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a little break.
We do.
When we come back, we're going to talk box office and answer our listener voicemail.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
I'm not making noise. You thought I was going to either do like a Tai Chi.
I was waiting for it because I know that it's coming. Every time I try to say something, you have some kind of sound effect to do over top of me. So I figured it was coming.
A Tai Chi turkey gobble?
Something like that. Could you do that, actually? Could you do a Tai Chi turkey?
Wow!
Okay. That's See? All right.
There you go.
So anyway.
That's going to be the sequel to Man. It'll be Free Birds of Tai Chi.
Nice.
It'll be an animated film directed by Keanu Reeves.
Oh, jeez. I can totally see it happening, too.
I gave somebody an idea.
And that is a terrifying thought.
I'm a bad boy.
So anyway, let's move right on to something a little happier. Let's talk about our listener voicemail that we have from Thomas from Seattle.
Yay!
Hello, Thomas.
Our good friend Thomas. Well, here's what he had to ask us.
Hi, Kevin and Grayson. This is Thomas from Seattle. I had a question kind of about The Counselor. So for like the whole year, I've been hearing that this movie was like an Oscar contender. Cormac McCarthy was going to be nominated for original screenplay. Fassbender and Pitt and Bardem would get Oscar nominations for acting. Scott, maybe a directing nomination. And then people actually saw the movie and said no to all that. Does this Oscar prediction game, has it gotten really ridiculous where we're making predictions based on who's in a movie and what the movie's about before we even see it? I mean, I think that's pretty ridiculous, personally. I was just wondering what y'all's opinion were. Again, Thomas from Seattle, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
That is an interesting observation.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, throughout the year, I think buzz is a mix of the studio hype and just general assumptions to me. I mean, because look at this movie. You have a great cast. You have a prominent writer. You have an Oscar-nominated director. And is coming out in the fall. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that people go, oh, well, this must be an award-worthy movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just kind of the kind assumptions
like
that you start to make. Right.
Yeah. Although Prisoners didn't have a known director, but...
Right. Yeah. And people keep talking about how awesome it is, even though...
I think there's two parts to this question, really. The first one is the Oscar predictions overblown? And what the heck happened with The Counselor? I think those are the two questions. And I think the biggest thing with The Counselor is just nobody saw it. All the indicators were there, but it just made kind of a dumb movie.
Well, yeah. And I didn't get to see it, but I have not heard anything good about it.
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a beautiful looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very well composed. Very well acted.
And again, yeah, the cast is great. Yeah. And, you know.
The oomph's not there.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's a lot of assumption that goes on. And that's the game that's played. And with all those people involved, you're like, well, somebody should get it.
Yeah.
But then people see it and they're like, it didn't fit.
There are movies like this every year.
Yeah.
Every year we have movies that everybody's like, oh, you have to see this because it's going to be the big Oscar movie of the year. And you see it and you're like, that was kind of terrible.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is it suffered from the fact that nobody saw it. Well, it didn't do like a festival run.
Mm-hmm.
I get annoyed every now and then when we have colleagues that I know on Facebook or whatever, and they're like, it's like May, and they're like, I've updated my best actor of the year 2013. And I'm like, it's May.
Yeah.
And granted, these people have gone to Sundance and they've seen all these movies that in the award circuit or the festival circuit. But I think even making predictions in October or even before Thanksgiving, that's still very premature because you don't know what's going to click.
Right. And I think, you know, once Toronto hits, and if you go there, you see a lot of the big contenders that are coming out. And that's a time when a lot of those start making their way out. Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, May is a little early for that. And it's still early.
August, October. Well, because here's the thing.
We have a lot of things coming out yet that we still have to see.
I'll use a great example. Last year was Silver Linings Playbook, which I didn't particularly like. But it kind of got these legs and went places no one ever predicted.
Right.
And when it came out, I don't think there was anybody who was saying, oh, yeah, keep your eye on Bradley Cooper. He's going to get an Oscar nomination for this. And then it kind of fizzled at first, and then it got legs, and it came back, and it got nominated for everything.
Everything.
And won a whole bunch. So you don't know what those are oddballs. And even then, sometimes you don't even know the award field until after, like, the Golden Globes come, and you get people saying, this person was snubbed, and that person wasn't, and that was a dumb nomination.
Award season is a crazy thing.
Yeah. Anyway, like, the buzz of Robert Redford getting nominated for All Is Lost. I don't think that's a shoe-in nomination.
It could happen.
It could happen, but you know, you get five.
Yeah.
I think Best Picture is a little easier to guess because there's a 10-picture limit.
Right.
But to pick the five people, I mean, you haven't even had, like, Saving Mr. Banks come out yet.
Right.
But no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that releases late. And even stuff that you don't know what the Weinsteins are holding back. And then somebody be like, we declare this is going to be the best movie ever. And then the Academy goes, yes, Harvey, you're right.
Okay.
That is the best. The Artist with the dog. It has a dog that doesn't speak.
It's black and white. Anyway.
All right, let's move on.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. If you want to call in yourself, 740-205-6456, give us a ring, and we'll answer your question on the air. But right now, we're going to talk box office. We both guessed Bad Grandpa. You snaked me out by saying 2 million more, by saying 27 million, and I said 25. It, in fact, made 32 million, so it did very well. And Gravity's still hanging in there, too. 20 million, it broke 200 million this past week. Pretty amazing, Captain Phillips. Then The Counselor was at 7.8, which is right along the lines of stuff like Machete Kills and Runner Runner and The Fifth Estate. You know, that's these are the under 10 million openers that are embarrassing people. And it just goes down. And 12 Years a Slave is at number 8 with 2.1 million for last weekend. It's going
Was only open in New York and L.A. last week, right?
It's a small
and it's doing a little bit of a wider release this week. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking about it next week because... This week is insane.
We had way too much to talk about with turkeys and Tai Chi. And
yeah,
like
just
that.
Too much.
And that's about it. Nothing else really of note in the box office. I mean, stuff like that Fifth Estate is way down the list, so we're not even All right, what do you think is going to win this weekend? You know, I haven't even thought about it. I'm going to wait till you say something, and then I'm going to steal it from you.
Okay,
so what do you think is going to win?
I'm going to say Ender's Game.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I will give it 40.
I'm going to give it $512 million.
Okay, 512.
512.
There you go.
512 million. You said 40?
Yes. Is there a reason for 512, or did you just pull that number out?
No, I'm just
Is it a special number to you?
No. No, not special at all. I was listening to the spirits, and that's what they told me to do.
Okay. Sometimes you have to listen to the voices in your head.
I will hunt down these spirits and beat them up if I'm wrong. That's it on box office. Let's move on to the next segment.
Let's move on, shall we?
That we affectionately call the world famous
DVD Roundup. Woo!
Yeehaw!
Can you make a turkey sound again? Because you know,
no, I'm hurting my voice.
Somebody needs to use their voice this week because I don't have one left.
I don't want to deprive the listenership of my dulcet tones of an angel through my throat.
Right, there's that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, America.
Leading the list of DVDs is the Pixar favorites.
Yes.
Monsters University.
Yay!
That was an adorable film.
It was, and I've watched it again, and I still love it. It's so cute.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get a little nervous when they start cranking out sequels. And you're like, I saw The Little Mermaid,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you saw the trailer, and you're like, I don't know what they're going to do with this one.
But it's cute.
It is.
It justifies its existence very, very well. That sounded really backhanded by me, didn't it?
It justifies its existence.
You have a right to exist, Monsters University.
But you have to prove that you have a right to exist.
Yes. But no, it's a charming, fun little movie. My favorite character is Charlie Days, the stinky purple tube.
The stinky purple tube?
I forget what his name is in the movie.
I don't remember either, but I like stinky purple tube.
Okay.
That works.
All right. And there's also Cars 3D.
Yes.
Which
looks gorgeous in 3D.
Yeah. It's the retrofit of Cars.
But any Pixar movie, when you put it in 3D, it seriously looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Because they really know how to use depth already. And then it's not like a conversion process. They re-render it. Mm-hmm. So we get a good version of it.
Yes. Beautiful.
The next one is RIPD, which you didn't. Did you get a chance to see that?
Sadly, I missed this one.
This is one that's a great idea that was just failed in execution.
Yes,
but it's not all bad. It's one of those. It's one of those absolutely terrible movies that I could probably just watch again.
Yeah, it was one of those that I really just wanted to see just because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really bad because it's Ryan Reynolds as an afterlife cop and. Yeah. Jeff Bridges is this. He's basically Rooster Cogburn from True Grit, playing a cop in the afterlife.
Nice.
And with the strangest thing is their whole thing is that these they're dead and they have to police the people in the afterlife, and they're these souls that are still trying to stay alive, and they're called Deados, and they are revealed because they spray cumin because they're like they can't handle cumin.
Okay.
And I'm like, apparently there's none of these in India. Because they don't like Indian food.
Okay.
So an entire continent is ignored in this movie.
Okay.
There's also one of your favorites.
Yes, one of my favorite Christmas movies ever, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which also came out on Blu-ray last year. So
I think they release it every year now.
It's coming out again.
With Droppo the Elf.
Which, hey, all right.
There's the entire series of Damages, if you like that show.
Yep.
I've never seen it.
I saw the first couple of seasons. It was pretty good.
And then my stinker of the week is Yo Gabba Gabba Christmas, because that show is like... LSD on crack.
Wow. There you have it. I'm giving my stinker of the week to Home Alone, The Holiday Heist, which is like the 15th Home Alone movie that was straight to TV.
Oh my gosh, we got to go to break.
Yes, we do.
Way over time.
We actually have to go.
We will talk to you guys next week when we talk about Thor, About Time, and 12 Years a Slave.
See ya.